Well, what a wonderful day. Cold a little bit, but wonderful. And we're talking about love, most wonderful gift as Christians we get to experience. And so part of what we're going to talk about today, or what we're going to focus on, is the experience of love. A lot of times at church, when we talk about love, we talk about loving God and we talk about loving neighbor. And these are remarkable realities of our lives as Christians, but the realities of our lives that can't be expressed completely unless we're receiving the full love of God. And so that is an experience that we have. And we're going to dive into that a little bit. But I'd like to start by reading the text we read for Advent again, because this covers all the elements of what love looks like as a Christian. John 1:4-12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Where does it come from, folks? God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God shows his love for us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Remarkable, remarkable. We get to partner in a mission of God's incredible love to this world. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you for today. I thank you for everyone who's joining us this morning. Lord, we're all in a different place in our journey of experiencing your love. Some of us have never experienced it, and some of us have been experiencing it for a long time. Some of us might be feeling a little bit sluggish, or maybe we're in a tough season, while others might be soaring on wings like eagles. But God, you love each person in this room nonetheless. God, I just pray that you would be emboldening us, that you would be filling us with this experience of the great love of God today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, last week, we talked about fellowship. Glenn spoke about what makes the church so special. It was an excellent message that covered a lot of the elements of being community that make us Christians. In fact, we can't do it without it. It was really powerful for me because there was a season in my life where I thought I could do it without it. And Glenn gave an example of a roaring fire with burning embers. And if you pull the coal out of the fire, then what happens to it? It dies. It gets cold. Now, I didn't just leave the church and suddenly become this wretched person that everyone was like, yeah, he's gone off the deep end. But the reality of it was I experienced a spiritual death. I was cold. I'd lost hope. And what we're going to see today is that hope never loses us if we hold on to what is true, the hope that never fails, God's unfailing love. And so it's very meaningful to me. If you miss that message, it's available online on YouTube or Facebook, and you can check that out. And so last week we talked about fellowship, the importance of being part, of being in that bed of coals, experiencing God's love through each other. And today we're going to be celebrating baptism. This is amazing. The angels are celebrating in heaven over this. This is an action, a declaration of a commitment. It's an adoption into the family of God, into something far greater than our individual selves. It's an outpouring, a receiving of the Holy Spirit into our lives, which makes our lives new. New birth. I have a huge list of things the Spirit does, and I've shared it before, but if you would like to know all the ways the Spirit works to empower your life in Christ Jesus, ask me for it, and I'll get it to you. But some of the things would be, he testifies to Jesus. He comforts us. He strengthens us. He brings us joy. He brings us freedom. He lives with us. He renews us. He leads us, empowers us, gives us gifts. A new life. That's what that means. And the Spirit opens our eyes to the truth. In John 16, 12 through 13, it says this. I have much more to say. This is Jesus. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. So baptism represents the beginning of a new relationship, a relationship with God, a relationship with Christ, a relationship with his Spirit. It's amazing. It's amazing. But oftentimes when we look at baptism, we think, oh, it's about that person and their relationship with God, right? I mean, many of us probably think about it that way. In some ways, I probably even thought about it that way until I started preparing for today. There's ways that we think about it. Oh yeah, it's between that person and God. Good for them. Well, you're not off the hook, Christian. If you say that you are a Christian, if that is a commitment that you've made, then this adoption into God's family is an adoption into your family, right? It's kind of like a wedding in some ways. I mean, probably more comparable to a birth, but let's talk about weddings. Because if you go to a wedding and you've got a sister or a brother that you really love, right? And they're marrying someone, they're making a commitment to that person, they're bringing them into your family, right? I don't know about you, but for me, there's a shift in the relationship, a commitment that I have to that person who's come into my family. Does that make sense to anyone? Yeah, that makes sense. This is way bigger, friends, than that. Way bigger. Because the Bible gives us loads of instruction on how we are to support our family in Christ. Loads. How we're to love them, how we're to care for them, how we're to build them up, how we're to grieve with them, how we're to rejoice with them. It's a beautiful and wonderful thing, and we get to be part. So when people are baptized into our family, then we treat them that way. We love them that way. We embrace them that way. And that's not to say we love other people less, but there's a special commitment that we have to those in Christ. And it's beautiful. So empowered by the Holy Spirit, we are able to encourage and equip through Scripture, encourage, equip, correct, build up each other for God's glory. The Great Commission doesn't end with baptize them in the name of the Spirit, in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The next line says, and teach them to obey everything. That's a lot that I've commanded. Teach them to obey everything I commanded. So being baptized is part of, coming into, it's about family. It's about obedience. Jesus says in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will obey my commands. He addresses the crowd on the Sermon on the Mount, and he says in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, he says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. That's hard. Right? Feels a little hard. Well, I know what you're thinking. You're saying, Aaron, whew, this is taking a weird turn. You said you're going to talk about God's love for us. And here you are, harping on obedience. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, this is different than that we expected. So why am I talking about obedience? Why am I looking at obedience first? It's actually to give you an example of a bad example. And here it is. If you look at these texts and you think, I just need to obey, I just need to obey, I just need to obey, I just need to obey. That's going to make you a religious person, but not a relationship person, right? It could be easy to receive these encouragements of obedience upon ourselves and attempt to construct a case for our salvation. What do I mean by that? A religious person tries to understand the rules and then by sheer willpower or restraint or disciplined action, put God into their debt. It's impossible. It's impossible. That would make Jesus obsolete, this gift that we're celebrating this week. You look at it, you go, but I've done such a good job. I'm not on the naughty list, right? God has to let me into his family. In this way, religion fails. We can work together as a community and do amazingly good things in the eyes of those around us, but it doesn't make us God's people. Rather, and to be clear, I'm not downplaying discipline, studying the word. But I mean, if you think of the love text, what's it say? It says that we can do all these incredible things, right? But if love is not present, where's love come from? Ooh. If love is not present, where does love come from? God. If it's not present, it's like a clanging gong. That's annoying. Right? Might look good to us. Maybe we're pretty good at smashing it. That gong of our attempts at obedience. But if love is absent, then that's all it is. No. Christianity is a journey of grasping the unfathomable love of God. Being so overwhelmed, so moved by his compassion and grace that our lives are transformed. Every season conformed more and more into the Lord's image. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate or reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit." It's a journey, an exciting journey, a journey which is delightful, a journey which I can wake up in the morning and I can reflect on God's love for me and the things that he has done for me with thankfulness, even in hard seasons, and leaves me feeling empowered to go and love others even when things around me seem to be crumbling. Your own abilities can't do that. When everything around you crumbles, you might try to manifest something, but it's chipping away, and eventually you crumble. At least I do. And I think that's what the Bible tells us about all of us. We need this empowering love of God. We need it. Tim Keller puts it like this: knowing God is when truth overflows the mind into all the rest of you. There are wonderful ways we can rationalize God's love for us. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world," right? I'm part of the world. God loves me. But there's something different to experiencing it, right? You can know something, and that doesn't transform you, but when you experience something, that's transforming. When I spend time with Ava, and I just see her delight in her dad, that does something powerful, right? Any of you who are parents, when your child looks at you with incredible love and knows deep down, way down beyond just knowledge, that you'd do anything for them. That is transformative. That can bring a child to tears. They can know it and know it and know it. And then you bend down next to them, you give them a deep hug, and you say, "I love you. I'd give my life for you." Next thing you know, you're both crying. It's amazing. And it's a picture. When we experience God's love, the power we receive transforms knowledge and understanding to reality. Romans 5:5 says this. At some point today, we were talking about hope. I don't think it was during this. It might have been before the service during prayer time. You'll have to forgive me. My brain's a little foggy this morning. We're talking about hope. And in Romans 5:5, it says, "And hope does not put us to shame." Why? Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. When we have the security of an unfailing hope, it changes how we live. And as we walk through life and continue to grasp the realities of this love, it changes who we are. In 1 John 3:1, John says, "Behold, see the great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." John is expressing, taste it, see it. It's tangible, it's real, it's here, and it's transformative. As we behold the love of God, It inspires us into obedience. As we are obedient to God, it transforms us so that we sincerely love each other. First Peter 1:22 says this: Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. So you see, our obedience to God comes from love, and what does it serve? Love. Our obedience to God comes from experiencing his overwhelming love for us, and it outpours into an overwhelming love for others. I'd like to invite up the worship team. Christianity is a journey of experiencing the reality of God's transforming love. Friends, as our experience of God's love varies from Christian to Christian, from day to day, I pray, and I would ask you to pray with me, that we would experience God's love in a powerful way today, this week, this upcoming year. That in the richness of that experience in this community, we would continue to be transformed in such a powerful way that we can, by the power of the Spirit, be the completed love of God to the world that he so loves. This perfect love was put on display for all the world to see in the birth of Jesus. As we continue to worship this morning, let's celebrate that gift of love.